From Knockadoole to Arbore, so much to do and see. And this week we're continuing our trip up the River Blackwater on board the Kathleen and May. You, the listeners, are joining us, and of course I am joined by our resident historian, Michael Brooks. Mike, last week we talked about, we were just leaving Strancaldy Castle, and we're where the River Forks.
We were actually, Noel, and right, good morning everybody again. We were doing this trip up along the Blackwater, but we were saying to everybody, if you haven't got a boat, you can take a car as well.
Take a car
and see,
as well, yeah.
And
yeah.
See all the places, that, the lovely places that we are watching as well. Mm. And this is what we're trying to entice you guys to do it as well, because you could do the whole thing in a Sunday afternoon. It's brilliant. But what we are just past Strancaldy Castle. We're looking at Strancaldy Castle, and just on our port side again, our left side again, there's the, we'll say the River Bride comes out. It meets the Blackwater here, just at Strancaldy Castle. So Strancaldy Castle is very just around the corner, and we also have Headborough House as well there as well, just overlooking,
of course,
as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But Strancaldy Castle is kind of on the Blackwater side of it. But what it is really, I suppose, Noel, it's hard to believe, because like the Bride, up to, you know, Tallaght Bridge, we'll go over Tallaght into Tullochinairn, the Hill of Arran, and Tallaght Bridge, and the Bride goes underneath all the way down as far as the Blackwater. And the Blackwater's not that far from Tallaght Bridge, by the way.
No.
But there would have been three main quays along the Bride. So Headborough House, Moorhill, and Janeville.
Janeville, yeah.
Yeah, and Janeville, so Headborough House is right at the Bride, we'll say, where the Bride meets the Blackwater, deep water.
Yes.
Moorhill is kind of in between, and then Janeville is Tallaght. Do you know the way? And then, funny enough, there's another two, I think, on the other side of the river as well, and closer to the bridge, they would have been kind of grass bank type piers as well for smaller boats.
Small,
as well.
Yes, yes.
But Janeville probably would have been the main Tallaght.
Janeville would have been the main one for Tallaught, for the, and for the grass drying station, etc.
And I think it was the O'Keefe's and all that. Now, you know, when you're going to Tallaght as well, if you're coming into Tallaught, you know, you see the Bride View stores, Bride Valley stores.
The Bride Valley stores, yeah.
I think they were actually army barracks. They were built as army barracks, because if you think of it, Tullochinairn, the Hill of Arran, just up from Gallows Hill, we call it. You know the way you come in, where the grotto is.
Yes.
If you took the right hand side of the grotto, went up there, it's the dump, I think, at the moment. That was the old Tullochinairn, the Hill of Arran, they used to earn, and then that Arran used to go to, I think, Cappoquin for the cannons. They used to have the foundry, Stanley, Waterford Stanley, I think, started there as well.
Yeah.
They used to go there as well, so they had the barracks there probably to look after their iron as well. But definitely the O'Keefe's anyway, which we'll get back to as well anyway. But main three piers, we'll say three keys, would be Headborough, Moorhill, and Janeville. There's a little story actually about one of a boat that went up to Moorhill. He was it was an English captain anyway, Captain Murdoch, and his ship was at Moorhill Quay, and he went into Tallaght drinking, and this was back in 1920. During the time of the Troubles.
Yes.
And he had a few pints inside him, and he was kind of explaining to all the locals, who were not too pleased, by the way.
His presence,
But he was kind of, as they said, the locals were quite listening to him, and he was saying how he'd sort out the War of Independence in a week if he was in charge of Ireland.
Oh, good man.
So what happened was, that night when he went back to the boat, soon there was visitors on the boat, the local command group. And what they did was they took him out and brought him down the road, a long ways up the road, and they kind of explained to him that they were waiting for their commander, who was going to shoot him then, for what he was after saying. And they said the following morning he was in bits, and they knew it, and the boys were kind of laughing about it a small bit, and they said, listen, get back onto the boat, shut your mouth
and go.
And that was it.
So the moral of the story, don't open your mouth.
Absolutely. And that's actually a true story as well about Captain Murdoch.
They said he
never went back onto the Bride for 10 years. It was 10 years afterwards that the next time, so I wouldn't either. So we're going up along the Bride a small bit. Again, if anybody with a boat, I do it a few times as well. It's absolutely gorgeous up there, and it's fairly deep water. It's hard to believe it's quite deep water there. You come up to Campfire Bridge.
Now,
if anybody's taking the car route, lads, if you go, as we call it, the Glendine Road, Temple Michael, try and stick in the GPS Campfire Bridge if you can get it into it, and go that way, because it's absolutely fantastic, because it really kind of keeps you along the river when you're driving as well in a car. It'll kind of keep you along the river. But Campfire Bridge there spans the bridge. There's a little pillbox, but the pillbox actually, funnily enough, was World War II, and it was Irish because they were afraid that the Germans were going to bring up gunships or whoever was going to bring
up.
And they put all kind of these little pillboxes on all the main kind of bridges in all the areas. So, and they, you know, the pillbox was looking after who was crossing the bridge.
Of course.
Basically, that's what they wanted to do as well. But the bridge that we go over today, Noel, I think that was 1975. It's a fairly new one.
It's a metal bridge. Yeah, it's a metal bridge. Yeah.
Or concrete. Sorry.
It's a concrete bridge.
It's a reinforced concrete. Mm. Exactly. Reinforced metal concrete bridge. 1975. I'm not sure when the first one, because the first one is beside it. And if you look at the little cottage that's there, it's a lovely little cottage there. The old mill or the old wheel is actually leaning up against the cottage as you're passing. And what it was they used to open the bridge by turning this wheel. And it was like, I don't know, was it a lift one or was it a turn? But I think it was lifted, actually lifted up. But this little wheel that's actually on the side of the... Still there today. But you could imagine... 63, when the new bridge was built in Youghal, there was going to be no more traffic.
That was the end of the traffic.
So they could have built any bridge they want then at that stage, and that's what they did in 75 as well.
Yes.
So, but again, as I said, the old bridge, I think it was a wooden bridge. There's talk about, we'll say, I know there was one thing about crossing there at 1902, but it's definitely pre that as well. Like there must have been a bridge there for many, many hundreds of years as well, anyway. So we're still carrying up along as well. Headborough House, we're just passing by again on our port side. We're heading up the Bride now at this stage, guys.
Yes.
Not the Blackwater, the Bride. And it's Headborough House and Quay. Again,
yes.
1830s, a lot of these big houses were the 1800s as well.
And of course, Sapperton Mills you had up there as well, you see.
Well, you would. And do you know something? And I suppose like around the 1800s as well, Noel, things have quietened down a lot.
Definitely.
So, the river, as
we said like earlier on in previous programs, the river was the lifeblood of the community.
Well, it was. Yeah.
And there was so much went on.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And the river basically was people's bread and butter.
Well, and it was the motorway as well for everybody as well,
whichever way.
But again, Headborough, when you're coming down again, you know, for me in a boat, you can really see it's a big yellow building. It's beautiful, absolutely gorgeous as well. Some of these houses are absolutely fantastic up there as well.
Yes, of course.
It was built by Percy Scott Smith. Now, I think... The Smiths will say, remember we did Mona Tray. Mona Tray was the Smiths of Headborough had the residence at Mona Tray in the late 1800s. So it's the same crowd. Would it be the same people? Same crowd,
yeah.
And I think it was Mona Tray was probably their little, you know, their little summer house.
Yes,
as one would have it.
Yes.
So yeah, it was a nice little one as well. Carrying on up, now we're heading for Janeville. So because we have to drop off 50 ton of our coal off the Catalina May to the, as I said, the O'Keefe's there in Janeville as well. Anyway, that's where we take it off.
And Janeville was a very, very busy port.
Very busy.
Yeah.
And this, and I'll tell you what it said as well, was that Janeville was the only one which had a crane. So they actually had a crane and everything at Janeville. And it says, Janeville, we had a crane operated machinery. This so much was not to save labour costs, but to overcome the water depth. So the tide would go up and down up to 5 to 7 feet. They said 5 to 7 feet.
Of course, this is the thing that we forget, but that it was tidal all... How far up was the tidal?
Oh, Teller Bridge. Really Teller Bridge, I suppose, because it gets very shallow at Teller Bridge.
Yeah.
But I'd say
that was the Bride.
And that's the Bride. We're talking about the Bride here now.
Yes.
And that would have been Teller Bridge. And we were just talking about it beforehand. Like, we'll say it normally with these what we call fat bottom boats. Catalina May is a
flat bottom boat, yeah.
And a fat bottom boat as well. And what they used to do is brilliant for mud, because what they used to do is they used to come up onto the river banks, and then they used to kind of, we'll say, when the tide goes out, it was really the best time for them to be, because the tide used to go out, the boat used to tilt a small bit. They used to get a board and put it across from the boat to the bank, and then all the lads come over with their wheelbarrows. And geez, you know, it was,
and when the tide come up again, it would right itself right, off
yeah, and off it go again.
And of course, it was later then, I suppose.
Well, it was. And funny enough, with the Janeville and our Catalina May, we went up the Bride, but we also have to come back down the same way backwards. So there was no way.
Oh, there was no turning.
You couldn't turn. The river was so small. It was deep, but small, you know the way. So it was, so most of the boats.
It's had, a thing you don't think if I suppose going. Like the Blackwater is different on account of the wide expanse of it there is.
Oh, you can turn the boat, you can turn,
you can turn a ship up the back. Yeah. But the Bride wasn't.
No, you couldn't do it.
There was no turning.
And I think in the later times of Janeville, I think they actually widened the banks there to try and get to turning. But the likes of the Catalina May, which is amazing. It must have been, imagine doing your fields in the fields and seeing the ship pass you by, you know the way. It was just an amazing thing. But
of
you,
course.
You had to go back backwards. So it was
that was
fair,
some skill
fair
for
captaincy.
That was some skill for the captain
absolutely.
To actually go backwards.
Because a ship is made to go forward, you know, whichever
course,
way you look
yeah,
at
yeah,
it. So,
yeah.
But we're coming back, we're after heading backwards back onto the Blackwater, Noel. And the very first house again, what we're doing is we come out and we are heading back up the river. We're empty, right?
Right.
All our coal is gone, but we're heading up to what's called Killahalla.
Killahalla, yeah.
Killahalla
yeah,
is yeah. up near Capoquin, we'll say. It'd be the last of the deep water ports, we'll say, up in up the Blackwater anyway.
Yes.
And because we can get on to Lismore and the canal and stuff like that in a later programme, I'd say we definitely won't get to today again.
Definitely.
As I said, this will go on for a small bit. But the first house then is Campfire House, built in 1843. And what it said was built possibly by Sir Charles Lanyon, and with a walled garden nearby outside and Gate Lodge and some of that. And the family lived there. And I think it was the later families, such as the Dobbs, which was, you know, kind of a half a famous deal. There was a lot of Dobbs families there. But the Musgraves and the Ushers, the Musgraves would have been very famous, and the Ushers as well. But a funny one, Noel, because it says Sir Charles Lanyon. And I wrote this, right?
Yeah.
And Helen showed it to come down for the dinner.
Yes.
And she says, I put Nationwide, it was on the television, Nationwide was on pause, and they were up in Belfast and they were taking the train around the place and all that.
Right.
And the train went in to Lanyon train station. They were after changing from Belfast Central Station to Lanyon Station. And then I was saying, God, that name, I just have to write it down.
You just have to write it down.
And then
yeah.
they said,
yeah.
Sir Charles Lanyon. He was a famous architect, and he built of the places up, or he designed most of the places up in Belfast. And so either he lived there, or he designed the whole house. I'm not sure.
My goodness, yeah. So there was a connection.
There's a connection, but it was just a pure coincidence that
you were writing about him 2 minutes after they were talking about him in Belfast.
And he's the main, we'll say, train station in Belfast is Lanyon Station now at this stage, after Sir Charles Lanyon from Campfire House as well.
My goodness.
After that, and I think every so often Campfire or Turin has the horse trials and a few things as well. Turin Castle, yeah.
I think it's Turin Castle, yeah.
So the next one up then is Turin, and I say Turin House.
Of course, you have as well the International in Campfire, haven't you?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, just across, this is just across from Villierstown.
Yeah,
that's where the International horse trials are actually kept.
Oh, okay.
Now, I don't know if they're held in Turin or not,
yeah.
But I do know around Campfire for a good many years. And they're still held there, actually, down there in the Broads.
That's right. Because we say, and I think I'm going to go across the river now in a minute, but we'll say Turin House and Castle. You can visit it. You know the way. Again, Google, and you can visit Turin House and Castle.
Yes.
Or garden, sorry. Beautiful place. Really, really beautiful place as well. Huge history as well. Again, it was like the Musgrave family again. Probably built it. Was the Musgrave family?
Probably Musgrave's tea. Probably, you know, the Musgrave's tea.
Well, yeah, and Musgrave's probably, and Musgrave's that we know today up in Cork. You know,
yeah.
That deliver all the. Is it which shop is it? They do all the Musgraves. We'll say Brooks is down below. Supervalue is Musgraves. So probably the same family, because all these
they're wholesale. They're wholesale. I would imagine.
Yeah,
they're probably all the one family.
The
yeah.
family kind of they live on because. But this property was definitely, it was originally a castle and owned by the Roach family. And remember we were doing over in Piltown and all this area, the Roach family, the Roach Castle, that castle in Piltown Castle was the Roach as well. I'm just wondering
and
where
they... And you also have a connection, I suppose, come further afield. I know we're a bit digressing now at the moment, actually. But if you come towards, we'll say, down towards Whitegate side, you have Roach Mount down there.
Yeah,
Roach's
yeah.
Point.
Roach's Point,
you
yeah,
have all
yeah.
that. There was Deer... I think, was it... There was a Deer Roach? D D-E-R-O-C-H, it was French, the French one as well.
Yeah,
I think that was actually, all that early was owned by the Roche family as well. Good. I wonder, was there a connection between the two? There had to be.
Again, the Roaches probably were, you know, the way it's the one name that they all kind of went under, the clan went as well at that stage. And what it was says was the castle was held by Edmund Roach in 1614 to pass down through the Musgrave family. So they would have been all interrelated as well. We notice as, because the Musgrave family then, before they eventually sold to a guy called Thomas Jameson's. No, Jameson's Whiskey.
Well, that was, when you mention Jameson's, like, and the surname Jameson, like, immediately you think of
the whiskey. And whiskey. It is Thomas Jameson, and he was Jameson Whiskey fame. And the Jamesons still own it. I think, three of the ladies, they're brilliant painters. They were actually on again nationwide again.
Yes, I think so, yeah.
They
were
on recently as well. Mm. Absolutely fantastic. A beautiful, guys, you can drive in there, Google it first of all, probably during the summertime, I suppose, more so. Worth a visit.
Is it open?
Oh, yeah.
Or is it open to the public?
It's open to the public.
Oh, yeah.
Just Google it and you can go in. I don't know, is there a cost or whatever it is? I think it's the gardens only. I don't know.
Oh, obviously, the house would be private. Yeah.
But they seem like really nice. And do you know something? Watkins, he's the boat. You know the I think it's the most beautiful boat in Yall is the Watkins boat, the wooden boat. It looks like Noah's Ark, we used to always call it. Behind where the Yall Carpets was, is it always moored down there. Big oak.
Oh, yes,
boat.
Yes.
That was belonged to the Jamesons. I hope I'm saying this right, actually, guys, now in fairness. But that was belonged to the Jamesons because one of them was Finnish, and I think that was a Finnish from Finland.
My goodness, came all the way from Finland, from memory now.
So that actually is the Jamesons' boat.
The Jamesons' boat.
And even the Jamesons' family, again, from memory, we were talking about Easter Point across from the lighthouse. Eastern Point. Mangan's Bay is the first bay. The house that was there, I think, was the summer house for Jameson family.
Oh, you're right, actually. That was
and the tennis courts and everything.
The tennis court, that was, Stony Beach down there. That was actually Jameson's.
So the Jameson family are well...
well ensconced, so aren't they?
And then Middleton, obviously enough, you know, where the actual...
The distillery is still
to this day as well, anyway. Mm. But I tell you, Noel, across the water, Villierstown, you know, again, places to visit. Please visit Villierstown because it's...
Villierstown's a lovely little place.
You know something? It's absolutely gorgeous. We pull in the boat and you can... there's a fantastic pier there. You know something? There's like, you know, community spirit places. You know there's a very high community spirit in Villierstown.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, and I didn't realise it as well. My cousin was down from Ennis and they stayed with the family. But they said there's ecopods there. But I think there are... it's like the village owns the ecopods,
yes,
and they're volunteers, and they all kind of go in and they'll clean up and they'll do all the bits and pieces.
I know, because I'm going over to Villierstown on many since the 1970s, and it's a an absolutely fabulous community.
Brilliant.
Spirit over there.
But, and even
fabulous.
But down the pier, you can see we pull in at the pier, and we love it. Actually, we pull in the pier. You can have a cup of coffee. You can buy an ice cream just on the pier because there's boating, canoeing. You can do all the bits and pieces there as well. You can take a walk up, you know, the way if anybody wanted a, you know, something to eat or something like that, tie up your boat, walk up to the Villierstown. But even just to drive there, Noel, absolutely fabulous place as well. I have to say now, in fairness.
And of course, it got its name, the Villierstewart.
The Villierstewart.
And like, they were one example of brilliant landholders, landlords there.
They were the Fitzgeralds.
They were the Fitzgeralds.
They were basically, through marriages,
they were the Fitzgeralds.
And they're still there. So the Fitzgerald, the Fitzgerald blood still lives in Dromanagh today, you know, through the Villierstewarts as well.
Yes.
Because, and you just said it there, because what it was the actual town, you know, we call it model, there's a like Model Farm Road up in Cork.
Yes.
What they do is they build a kind of a thing just to see, does it work? And basically, the whole town was built. You know, there's planned towns. Dungarvan is a planned town built around the square. Middleton is a planned town built around two wide streets.
Yes.
Yall is not a planned town.
No, Yall is,
Yall followed the coastline.
I'm deviating from it, but I think actually it was Claude Coburn coined the phrase that Yall stands at a slight angle to the rest of the universe.
That's right.
You know?
So and it makes us special, though. It does.
It makes us special with its long, narrow streets winding up hill and down.
Absolutely.
You know? But getting back, I suppose, to the Villiers, it was linen making, was it?
It was, because what it says here
it was a millinery.
And it was, because he built a town. You know, he built church, shops, schools, houses.
Something like Cadbury.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
so like Cadbury, you know, when you
built the whole Bourneville, the whole town, and churches and everything. Absolutely,
and,
yeah, built a whole lot, and parks and all that, and built it wide. You know, the way when you go into it, like it's like no other village in Ireland. I always say it's very wide, just a beautiful place. Because you just said it there, it was like founded by the Villiers Stuart family, Villiers Town.
Yes.
And then the village was initially populated by linen weavers, most of whom came from Lurgan. There's a lot of Lurgan, still to this day, you have the linen up in the industry up in Lurgan as well, anyway, in County Armagh. But as I said, geez, the quays there is absolutely fantastic. They're well worth, you know, even just for a drive. Next Sunday again, guys. Head up.
A beautiful drive. Highly recommended.
And I tell you what we're going to do today, Noel, because we're going to stop, put a pause in this one again. We're stopping in Killahallop here, just up from Villiers Town, across the water again on our port side, the left side. And what we're doing was we're going to load the ship. Our lovely Kathleen May is going to. They're going to load on pit props. So heading back for Wales, but we're going to get into another boat ourselves, and we're going to go up along towards Capaquin. We've Drumanna across the road from us, and we're going to go up to Capaquin, Lismore, and all this. But we're stopping at Killahallop Pier. It is the last deep water pier, we'll say, on the Blackwater.
And that's basically, that was the end of the likes of the G Wadden and the Kathleen and May. They went, that was, as you said, that was the last deep water.
And you know something, you mentioned it, because, and I think you're dead right, because I think the D Wadden, we'll say, in 1958 was the very last, we'll say, commercial boat, because again, the concrete bridge was being built at that stage.
Yes.
The days were numbered for all the quays then as well at that stage as well. It was the last of it. So what we're going to do is we're going to leave the workers, you know, the peasants, they can fill the boat while we jump onto a little rowboat ourselves.
We jump onto a little rowboat. But again, I suppose as a point of interest, like, it was very, very prudent for the likes of the Kathleen and May, we'd say, to come from Biddeford, we say, to y'all, and up service, we'd say, the likes of Janeville now, and head up right into Villiers Town, and again go back with a full load as well.
Absolutely, you had to. And we always used to say, especially with the Kathleen and May, coal in, pit props out, and it was the main. You know, there was obviously otter. You know, they were bringing other stuff as well, but that was the main cargo for all the ships as well. So you had to really fill up, and it's like a truck today. You know, you see all the trucks today, and I heard it there once. Lads would be coming down from Dublin, but they'd be waiting for another load from Cork or whatever. You know, the way to.
Oh yes.
They don't want to go back up empty. You know, the way.
No, and of course, it was fallacy for, I suppose, the likes of Kathleen and May, or the one, and even these ships actually, to come back.
Absolutely empty. Yeah. Absolutely. Because, but it was.
They didn't pay the shipmasters.
And it was just so much pit props, because we'll say the whole Blackwater area, Noel, was covered in forestry. And, you know, when we say pit props, it is. They used to mill down and put them into the pits to keep the roof from
falling
in. So.
And they were being, y'all, even up to recently, y'all shipping actually was carrying pit props out.
But it was, but funny enough, like you could see one ship going out with, you know, loads of wood, you know, heading out, and then the next ship comes in and it's bringing in wood, you know, sometimes.
Yeah, you wonder what was the whole idea. Well, maybe the powers that be, I suppose,
absolutely,
you know, they knew what they were doing.
Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
We think we knew what they were doing anyway,
absolutely,
you know? Mike, as I said there, and still they gazed, and still the wonder grew that one small head carry all it knew. It's been absolutely a blast having you.
Thanks very much, Noel.
And indeed, we'll continue with the next programme. We'll continue our little trip up on a boat.
Yep.
We're after leaving the Kathleen and May.
For a little while.
For a little while, listeners. And we thank the management, and indeed the captain of the Kathleen and May, for putting up with us
Tommy Jewell
and the gang, all our talk going up along and stopping at the various ports. Mike, it's been great having you.
Thanks very much again,
Mike. And as I said, we'll join you again at the next programme here in the series, as we call it. So much to do and see, from Knockadoon to Ardmore, and a trip up the River Blackwater. What on the Kathleen and May, moving into a new boat now. Again, Mike, thanks for coming in.